Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupodity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gotts, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gotts providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gotts' influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupodity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupodity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Look at the Oprah. How about that? Please subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. You got nothing else to do. Hey, Stanzik, that's it. Just subscribe and unsubscribe the entire day for me, for Stanzik. Let's go.
I mean, if you're not doing it now, you're never going to do it. So you better be doing it. I know you're all bored. Let's go.
I mean, listen, we have churned out, okay? This is, I think, we're about to release the fourth podcast in a week. Is that correct?
That is correct. Two a week. Let's go. Who's better than us?
I mean, seriously, do it for Stanzik. There are plenty of people, doctors, nurses, plenty of people working very, very hard right now, and we appreciate everything they're doing. I'm not certain anyone's working as hard as Stanzik, except for those nurses, the doctors, and Sanjay Gupta. That's it.
Those and Stephen people. A.
And Stephen A. and Kuiper and McShay. I mean, those guys are relentless.
Oh, my God.
How you holding up?
I'm all right. As good as I can be. I don't have much to complain about. But you know, wish things were better. Wish I could, go places. That'd be nice.
Right. Have you gone for jogs at all or anything?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. That's, I feel like I'm a prisoner and I get my rec time every morning where I go for a run and then I don't go outside the rest of the day and don't go outside until the next morning when I run again. It's a weird existence.
Stanzik, I gotta tell you, here's what's happening with me. From 7 to like 9 a.m., I've never been healthier. Listen, I am waking up early. I am jogging. I am doing sit-ups. I am doing push-ups. I am stretching. I've tried yoga. I mean, 7 to 9 a.m., I am as healthy as I've ever been. And then I get ready for the show, and then we do the show 10 to 1, and then it's all downhill after that. Because I have nothing else to do. I do a couple of podcasts with you, and then I'm left on my own devices. I'm hanging out with my wife and kids. And all I do is eat. And that's it.
I thought you were going to be ripped. What happened to that? You told me after this quarantine ends, you're going to be ripped.
Listen, at 7:30 in the morning, no one is more ripped than me. Okay. At 7:30, I am jacked. Okay. But by 5:30 in the afternoon, everything I did the previous, in the morning, disappears. Hashtag COVID-19. Speaking of, so we have a great episode. We have a 30 for 30 for you because Stanzik and I maintain a 30 for 30, by the way, that is exclusive to the podcast. Now, I don't know how Dan's going to feel about it. I don't know how Mike and the crew are going to feel about it, but usually I do these for the show and then perhaps we'll put it on here. We went the other way this time. We did it for Stupodity, for this audience, for you guys, and then perhaps we'll play it on the Levitard show after it airs here. Stanzik was very specific about those instructions. He did not trust me whatsoever.
Well, I know how you get with things you like. When you make yourself laugh, you just want to share that with the world. Knowing this thing was completed Wednesday, I knew if that was in your hands, you would want the world to hear it Thursday, and we're not releasing this podcast until Friday. So you were on strict instructions. Let's let it air on the podcast first, and then maybe run it on the show as well. And by maybe, I mean, I know that's exactly what you're going to do.
Yes, I got to be honest. So I asked Stanzik to send it to me, not for any other reason than I wanted to listen to it first because there's a specific way these things need to be done and a pacing and a tone and a cadence. And Stanzik did not want to send it to me because he thought I was going to play it on the show first. Had no faith in me. Zero faith in me, Stanzik. You thought I was going to play it on the show first, right?
There was a slight hesitation where I just wanted to confirm that you wouldn't let the horse out of the barn. That's all. It was a slight hesitation and an explicit instruction. And to my knowledge, I don't listen to your show all the time or in its entirety. You have not done that. So I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I got to be honest. I was very, very tempted just to tweet it out and both shows.
Except you don't know how to do that.
Right. It made me laugh. It was funny. So we all agree that these are unprecedented times. And at some point, Stancic, you would agree that ESPN is going to make a 30 for 30 about this specific time. I guess you can't say in sports, but this specific time in our country's history, right?
I think they'd have to. I mean, it's unprecedented, as you said.
So we're going to give you a 30 for 30, that ESPN will make 30 years from now, but we just decided to plant the seed here on stupidity and give them some ideas, because 30 years from now, people are going to forget some of the ridiculous things that have happened here in the last couple of weeks, right?
That's right.
Okay, good. We're also going to speak to Paul Rabil. Now, listen, here's the deal. It's a give and take relationship we have. Stancic and I are working hard. I'm sitting in this laboratory all day just cranking out podcasts for myself, for Stancic, for the audience, but mostly for the audience, okay? Because I know, and for my marriage. it's keeping me away from Abby, which makes her very happy. And it's keeping our sanity around here. But also because I know the audience is – listen, you're all sitting at home. I am grateful to have the show every day and this Comrex unit and the podcast to do, because it helps me get through the day, you know? So I know people are sitting at home and they're just craving content, right, Stancic?
Of course.
So we're trying to deliver as much as we can for you. So after the 30 for 30, we're going to have a discussion with Paul Rabil. I was saying this is a give-and-take relationship. I give you a 30 for 30. I give you an entire weekend observations episode. I give you Mikey C in peak Mikey C form, and that's the gift. I give you that, and occasionally I take. And what I'm taking here is someone and something that me and Stancic are very interested in, and that is lacrosse and business. At least me. I mean, the business part, me, lacrosse, both me and Stancic.
That's correct. This is like you at your core. Two things you love, I would hesitate to say most in the world, but pretty high on your top five list. I mean, money's number one, family's probably number two, lacrosse and business. Business is kind of money. So it's probably top five things you love in the world combined into one interview. Again, it's not for everyone, but this one's for you. You're like a Hollywood actor. You'll do one for the big studio, then you'll go do an indie project. Actually, you probably wouldn't. You just get the biggest paychecks.
But here's the deal with Rabil, okay? At Stancic, you love lacrosse. So, you know, he is the co-founder and he runs the Premier Lacrosse League. It's a professional lacrosse league. They have television contracts with Fox, ESPN, and NBC. They are doing amazingly well. Now, the timing with this pandemic, obviously not great for a startup league that's in its second season, but Paul Rabil is the face of lacrosse. He's on just about everyone's Mount Rushmore of lacrosse. The league is doing very, very well, and it's a great conversation both about lacrosse, our personalities, and business, which I happen to love. Now, Stancic, you were not present for the interview because you were editing and producing every podcast at ESPN, so you were not here for this one, right?
I was not there for the interview, but I have heard it and edited it, and there are some interesting tidbits in there. There's some good Bill Belichick stories in there.
There are some great Bill Belichick stories in there. That is a good – that's how you sell it, Stancic. There are some great Bill Belichick stories in there. I don't know how closely you listen, but we're going to have to do another interview with Rabil, just so you know.
I heard that part. Yes. Okay. I heard that.
So, like, here's the deal. Like, I am going to try to wiggle my way into having a stake, some sort of equity share with Stancic in the Premier Lacrosse League, because you would agree – that what that thing is missing is me, right?
Yeah, well, I think they're doing just fine without you. They could probably use your help in some capacity, but I think they'd be okay.
So we're going to have him on in a couple of weeks, and I think what we agreed to is we're going to pitch him 10 to 15 ideas to help make his league better than it already is. And if he agrees to any of those ideas, you and I have an equity stake in the company. How about that?
Pretty good deal. Yeah, I like that. Good negotiating out of you.
A little gift for you. All the work you've done here. I ain't going to send you my money. I'm going to send you Rabil's. before we get to all that, a 30 for 30, a great conversation with Paul Rabil. I'm very excited about it. You want to do an all NBA team?
I mean, we can. We got no one else to do.
Let's see. Who did we do last time? We did the Utah Jazz?
Yes, we did the Jazz. Yes.
I want to be very clear. I am doing these on social media, doing them on Twitter, and those are my official all-time teams. What I'm doing here with Stancic is not official. because we are just jumping around and I might miss a name. And so I already been criticized with the Utah Jazz for you and I deciding on an all-time team. And then I think I tweeted out something entirely different. So, I mean, don't hold me to any of this. You want to pick the team this time, Sandy?
I can, sure.
Go ahead.
Let's do – how about the Phoenix Suns?
How about it? I mean, what in Rome?
Yeah. Sure. Phoenix. All right. Yeah. I don't know. It's warm in Phoenix, I guess. I've never been there.
It's,
but
it's warm in Phoenix, and golf is essential, according to
yeah.
The big golf debate. Is golf essential in your state? It's unbelievable. We need to discuss that at some other point. Phoenix Suns. Right, I mean, so here's how I do it. Head coach, starting five, one off the bench, one for fun. Apologies, too. We apologize to two players. Okay. Cotton Fitzsimmons is our coach, without question. Or is it Paul Westfall? I don't know who the coach is.
Let's take a look.
He was so good. They hired him twice.
Yeah.
All right, but here's what I'll tell you. Cotton Fitzsimmons, I mean, I'm looking at 55-27. They lost in the conference finals. 54-28 lost in the conference finals. Lost in the conference semifinals with a 53-win team. Stanton, he had four consecutive years of winning 50-plus games, and they went to the conference finals or conference semifinals every year. So.
And then what happened when Paul Westphal showed up?
Okay, let me check it out. Because Paul Westphal could be a player on the team. I mean, are you good?
Well, he showed up and he took him to the NBA Finals in his first season.
He did. With Cotton's players, though.
Okay, that's true. And Cotton's got a cool name. So, I mean, if you want our coach to be Cotton Fitzsimmons, I'm all here for it.
So he had the 62-20 loss in the NBA Finals to Jordan. That was a Barkley team, right? And then he went to back-to-back conference semifinals. All right. I'm going to go Cotton Fitzsimmons. You want to go Cotton? We agree on Cotton?
Yeah. Cotton Fitzsimmons is our coach of the all-time Phoenix Suns team.
Let's go to the starting five here. Who are the locks? Who are the locks in the starting five?
I think we have two locks. There are two locks. We're going to have to make some interesting decisions, though. I think our locks, our locks in the starting five in any capacity are going to be Barkley and Steve Nash. Those are our two locks, correct?
So Steve Nash, you're putting in there over Kevin Johnson as well. Barkley has to be a lock. I mean, he only played a couple of years there, you know?
That's part of the conversation because Shaquille O'Neal played for the Suns, but he wasn't very good when he played for the Suns. So does he make the all-time Suns team at center just because of the name, or are we thinking about how well they played for that team?
Well, no, I think the better example is like let's stay with Shaq, okay? Would you put Shaq on the all-time Heat team?
I mean, he won a title when he was there. I mean, you would argue Dwayne Wade won him that title, but –
just hear me out. He was there for a couple of years, Shaquille O'Neal. They did win a title. Wade was responsible for winning that title. Plus, you got Alonzo Mourning to deal with. So that's kind of where I'm headed there. Like, I think if you think Heat centers, the first name that pops up would be Zoe or Ronnie Seigler.
Yeah. Ronnie Seigler.
Who's a DJ
former Syracuse
now,
great. Yeah.
Right. Who's a DJ now? Get him on.
We should.
DJ Cycli. Hold on. Let me see how many years. I can get Cycli up. Let me see how many years. So Charles played Phoenix. 1, 2, 3, 4. Man, that first year he was so good, Stanzik.
I know.
I mean, all 4 years he was pretty good. Barkley was pretty good at basketball.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, you're going to have some options with the Suns. I think Barkley's a lock, but you could also very well just go with Amari at the 4 and bump Charles up to the 3.
Okay, that's fair. Well, you also got, let's see, you got Barkley, you got Kevin Johnson that we haven't thrown in there yet. Nash is definite, okay? So Nash is the point guard. You got
correct.
Sean Marion, the Matrix. I mean, how about that?
You got Dan Marley.
Thunder Dan.
Was waiting for it. That a boy.
Way to set me up. You got Paul Westphal, by the way. Very good player. Jason Kidd was in there.
Yeah.
Tom Chambers, the greatest white dunker of all time.
He might be one for fun. I think he's going to have to make this roster.
How about Jeff Hornacek? Horny.
Horny.
I love this team. I mean, it's a great team. You picked a good one, my man. All right, so we want to go. How about Connie Hawkins, the Hawk? I mean.
Oh, jeez.
It's a good one for me. All right, let's agree. Let's do this quickly so we can get to our 30 for 30 and we can get to Paul Rabel and get an equity stake in the Premier Lacrosse League. All right, so I'm writing this down. I don't know why. Cotton Fitzsimmons, your coach, right?
Yeah.
Coach is Cotton. Point guard, we are going to put, we agree, Steve Nash, back-to-back MVPs. Levitard wrote an article claiming it was racist.
I did not know that. Okay.
He didn't say it was racist. He said race was involved. That Steve Nash, I think he thought that Shaq was more deserving one year or whatever.
Probably.
Whatever. You know what Dan does. Yeah. Okay, so we have Steve Nash, and then we need a shooting guard. So shooting guards, I mean,
if you wanted to put Kevin Johnson at the two, I'd be okay with it. You got Horny, you got Thunder Dan, you got some guys I've never heard of. Who else? Let's see.
I mean, I don't think there's many other options at the two except for, let me see. Let's look up Paul Westfall's stats real quick, okay? This is riveting. I mean, hold on one second. Paul Westfall's stats. Paul Westfall is a good player, dude. I think you're going to be surprised at how good Paul Westfall was, my friend.
I mean, Westfall was there for a while in Phoenix. Averaged 20 or more like 5 years in a row. I think he's in.
And he played the two, right?
Yeah, I think that's our shooting guard. I was going to lob Dick Van Arsdale at you, the original son.
Dickie V.
Yeah. Who had a nice stretch with Phoenix from 68 to the end of his career in 77. Wow. Nice little run there. Former Nick.
Yeah. He would be on Bob Ryan's all-time son team. Are we going to put Westfall in there too?
Let's put him in there.
We're about to leave Kevin Johnson off this team, just so you know.
Well, you can come off the bench. You can be a little spark plug.
All right, we'll see. Small forward, you want to go Matrix or you want to go Barkley? You seem to want Barkley on this team, and I tend to agree with you.
Well, I think it depends on how you feel about Amari Stoudemire.
Whew.
If you want Amari on the team, Amari's got to play the four. Barkley's got to play the three.
Okay, and who would be the center?
That's an empty slot right now.
Ayton? Oh, Walter Davis is very good, too. We're leaving him out. I mean, Walter Davis. His numbers, I mean, I'm telling you, his numbers might be better than Westfall. We might have to, hold on, we're going to take Westfall off.
Okay, hang on. Wait a minute. Walt, yeah, first 3 years with Phoenix. Whew, 24, 23, 21 a game.
And he
kind of tapered off a little while, then, you know, got it back up to 21, 23. I don't know. That's a coin flip there.
Listen, so I don't have to scratch it out and write a new index card out. I'm happy just leaving the Westfall there.
That works. That works for me.
All right, so I am going to put Barkley at the small forward because I know you want him there, and I'm not going to take that away from you, okay? You're welcome.
Don't let me dictate. This is your list.
No, it's our list, dude. What are you talking about?
Okay, all right.
We're leaving Devin Booker out, too, by the way, just so you know.
That's fine. He hasn't earned it yet.
I think Amari has to be on the team. He does. And okay. He might be on the all-time Knicks team. I mean, that 1 month.
He would not be on the all-time Knicks team, but I'm glad we agree he's on the all-time team.
2 months, I mean.
Yeah.
All right, so we're putting Amari at the – here, we could do this. We could put Tom Chambers at the four, Amari at the five. Done. Boom. You got a team of Nash, Westfall, Barkley, Chambers, and Amari. That's a pretty good team.
That's very appealing.
Or you can go Larry Nance, who is also an amazing player. Larry Nance is good, dude.
How long was Larry Nance with Phoenix?
I think most of his career.
I remember him as a Cav. Always started his career with Phoenix. Yeah, he had a nice little run. All right, I'm good for either option there. Chambers, and then you bump down, or Larry Nance.
All right, let me check out Nance real quick. Oh, I got Larry Nance Jr. Damn, the bad Nance. Hold on. With all due respect to Larry Nance Jr.,
Tom Chambers, first 2 years with Phoenix, 25-8, 27-7. Played 81 games in each.
All right, so you want to? So who do we have? Our choices here for the fifth guy are Larry Nance, I guess,
or Tom Chambers.
Larry Nance, Tom Chambers, or we could always take Barkley off. So I mean, I don't want to get too bogged down in this, but we already have. So who do you want to go with? I'll leave it to you. We have Steve Nash, Paul Westfall at the two, Barkley at the small forward, We have Amari at the four, and I guess it doesn't really matter who you put at the five. So you want to go with Chambers?
Let's go with Chambers. I like it.
All right, Tom Chambers. So we have three of our five starters are white. All right.
Maybe Levitard will write a column about this team.
So now we have one off the bench. Here, and I'm telling you, here's who's left, okay? There aren't many. You got Walter Davis. You got Kevin Johnson. You got Jason Kidd. You got Larry Nance. You got Thunder Dan and Devin Booker.
See, I think we got to go Kevin Johnson, don't you?
Yeah, I think Kevin Johnson off the bench. He's our one off the bench. You want to go one for fun, the Matrix?
Ooh, I like the Matrix. Yeah, very versatile.
That's fun, right? Yeah. So we have KJ off the bench, and we have Marion. And then I guess we have apologies too. Oh, man, this breaks my heart. Walter Davis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis Johnson? Or Thunder Dan?
I think we got to apologize to Thunder Dan.
All right, so apologies to Thunder Dan Marley, who was a very good player and a great three-point shooter. And apologies to him and to Walter Davis, who probably is deserving of being on this list, but I'm too lazy to write a new index card out. All right, so we're good on the Suns?
We are good on the Suns. Walter Davis, second in Suns history in games played.
Really? All right, new index card. First
in field goal attempts, first in two-pointers made.
All right, Paul Westphal, get the hell out of here. Is that what we're putting him? We're putting Walton. Okay, let's go Cotton Fitzsimmons, Steve Nash, Walter Davis, Charles Barkley, Amari Stoudemire, Tom Chambers. Westphal goes from the starting two-guard to off the team. I mean, that doesn't even get an apology. I mean, stupidity.
It wasn't a Westphal. It was a big fall.
Hey! Quarantine joke.
That was brutal. Keep it in.
Keep it in, Stantic. I get Westfall on the show. So listen, that is our all Phoenix Suns team.
What a ridiculous game.
Hashtag COVID-19. We take it way too seriously. Not COVID-19, not the coronavirus. The Suns all time team. I wish we take the coronavirus more seriously. Not us, everyone. Especially here in Florida. Get off the beaches! Jesus. Anyway. So, Stanzik, we agree, as we discussed earlier, 30 years from now, ESPN, it may be sooner, we'll be making a 30 for 30 about this time period, correct?
Correct.
All right. Well, here's a little head start for the folks at ESPN.
What if I told you that in the winter of 2020, Boomer Esiason would announce via Twitter that sports were over. Hashtag COVID-19. That winter would turn into spring. That even after Boom's announced sports were over, St. John's and Creighton still managed to sneak in a half. That the Johnnies looked good. That we finally saw ACC Commissioner John Swofford. That he looked exactly the way you'd imagine someone named John Swofford would look. That many people thought you could contract the virus by drinking a particular brand of beer because the beer and the virus had the same name. That we are dumb. That for some reason, we stocked up on toilet paper. That everyone became a doctor. That at one point, we were getting news and updates about the virus from Deborah Messing. That George Sedano wanted NBA Commissioner Adam Silver to suspend Rudy Gobert for contracting the virus. That it was an odd time for George to give that take. That bleep got real once Hanks tested positive. That the virus was the perfect time for Iona to hire Rick Pitino. That Pitino was immune to the virus because he's been dead for 1,000 years. That this movie is being made 25 years later and Iona has 4 vacated national championships, Pitino was fired and is once again coaching at Louisville. That the shot clock is now 15 seconds. That life across the entire globe would come to a screeching halt except for one horse race in Hallandale Beach. That I had no idea how much I would miss the Valero Open. That Dana White, the WWE, and the NFL would not be deterred. Neither would Mel Kiper or Todd McShay. That we were so starved for entertainment, we turned to an imprisoned, self-described, gay, kinky sex-having, broke-as-shit, polygamous zookeeper who lured multiple straight men to marry him with baby tigers and meth. That Ernie Johnson, a man with multiple Emmys, would think that I have something constructive to say about journalism. That everyone was losing their mind. That Jay Williams thought the answer was cruise ships. That cruise ships was the worst possible answer. That Dan Le Batard thought the worst possible time to feel bad for a billionaire was the best time. That Dan should be ashamed of himself. That Knicks owner, James Dolan, would finally get some news that was positive. That the Olympics were canceled, but that didn't stop Bill O'Brien from skating. That I'd have to start betting on esports. That Michael Jordan would once again come through in the clutch. That the Last Dance documentary not only saved ESPN, it saved humanity. ESPN Films presents #COVID19, a 30 for 30 about an unprecedented time when we probably should have cared more about the virus and less about who was going fifth to the Dolphins.
That sums it up, right?
It was pretty long.
A lot has happened.
Quite a teaser.
Unprecedented like time.
Half the movie, I think.
I love that the first time that I learned about all of this was from Boomer Esiason.
I got to be honest. I don't remember getting my news from Deborah Messing, but it's totally believable.
Our show did. I mean, I believe Billy Guillermo at one point blurted out a tweet about COVID-19 from Deborah Messing.
Why is Billy following Deborah Messing on Twitter?
That's a very good question, but I got to tell you, I followed her right after Billy told me. She seemed like an expert.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
So that's kind of what the movie will be like 30 years from now.
Like, I think we all needed that.
How'd that James Dolan line get in there?
Oh, my God. That is vicious.
Did you put that in there?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, good. That was fun. So now that we played it here, I have permission to play it everywhere, right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. All right, good. All right. Well, that's a great job by Stanza. Good job putting that together. Who do I need to thank for putting that together here? Who is our production guy? Because usually we produce these down in Miami, but there's someone up in Bristol, because we're in unprecedented times here. Someone did the production for us.
That's correct. It was Tim Thomas, at ESPN, not the former Bruins goalie and not the former small forward that went to Villanova.
Oh, really? On my old Bucks team, I think. Got in a big nose.
Kerry Kittles left after his freshman year.
Oh, kitty cat. He got... Meow.
Keep it in.
Here, all right, get Kittles up.
All right, let's get the ramble.
Tim Thomas got out a big nose, right?
The basketball player, yes. I pictured the imaging guy, and I'm like, no, I'm pretty small, actually.
Thanks to Tim Thomas, not the former Buck, for producing that for us. It was very, very well done. Tim Thomas did have a big nose, though, right?
He did, yes, yes. The Bruins goalie, I can't speak to. He always had a mask on.
I didn't know the Bruins had a goalie.
Tim Thomas, they won the Stanley Cup. He's got his name on the cup.
Really? Tim Thomas? Oh, the guy who refused to go to the White House, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on my all-time Bruins team. How about that?
Figured you'd go with Tuukka Rask. The only other Bruins goalie I could name.
Get both Tim Thomases on, okay?
With the production guy.
Get all three on, yes.
We still never got Nikola Jokic and Novak Djokovic on. We wanted to get the Jokers on. Never happened.
That's a good point. What would we do with the three Tim Thomases? Like, there's got to be a game there, right?
Something. We'll figure it out.
Okay. All right. Thanks to Tim Thomas, who's working very hard at home, for putting this for putting that together for us. That was fun. All right, Stantic. It is, that's the give and take we were talking about earlier. We give you that, and then we take a little bit. What we're taking here is a very good conversation, fun conversation with a very entertaining and good dude. His name is Paul Rabel. He's the face of lacrosse. He started a professional lacrosse league, the Premier Lacrosse League. I love talking to interesting people. I love talking business. I love talking sports, and I love, not good, great Bill Belichick story. So here is, here's a little sit down with my friend Paul Rabel.
Stupidity! All right, excited to have Paul Rabel with me here on Stupidity, co-founder of the Premier Lacrosse League. You guys know I love lacrosse. They started this over the last 24 months or so. And again, Paul is the co-founder. He's also the face of lacrosse. How do you feel about that? You have become, Rabel, the face of lacrosse. Don't laugh. You are. You're the face of lacrosse.
I don't know whether to laugh because it's more like Jackie Moon or to, you know, feel good about it because it's a really small sport and fewer people play and I got an easier road to the top for the time being, but we're trying to build this thing so, you know, you have more participants, more competition and fewer Rabels sitting at the top, I guess.
You're doing a tremendous job, man. As a former lacrosse player, someone who loves the sport, I appreciate it. I'm wondering though, because you were playing in the MLL. And so I am wondering, what made you want to start the Premier League?
Yeah, I want to tell you about that. But first, let me just say, I've been waiting some time to get on this show, man. We're all very aware of your background in lacrosse, Stugatz. I mean, we've got a guy here who was at the top of the goal and assist charts for Clark.
Go really? Kings.
Right. And we've seen your articles in US Lacrosse. I was just telling you before we started recording, we got to get you to a PLL game. Like, what's going on, man? You know, we need, we're proud of you. We're proud of you, but we also need your voice.
I appreciate that. And I would love to be one of the voices. In fact, I'd love to be one of your partners. I mean, Rabel, why not?
There you go.
Let's go. All right. So I'm stoked to be here. I'll tell you, quickly about MLL. So.
Okay.
You know, this is now my 13th professional season playing, lacrosse. And through the first, 11 or so, I was in MLL and, you know, it was a great opportunity for a professional or just a lacrosse player to graduate from school and play professionally. And if you look at the environment at a macro level, revenue sports are basically football and basketball. And then you have soccer and baseball that like really teeter around their non-revenue. They teeter around that revenue aspect, but they have pro games that have popped off, as have golf. And so there are non-revenue college games that have figured out the pro model. Lacrosse has never figured it out yet. Over the last decade, there's been this growing participation base. There's been more games on television. And so for me, over the last decade or so, I graduated in 2008, like right on the cusp of the social media curve. And I've seen the audience growth firsthand through my mobile device. And I think that level of exposure gave me the insight to say like, hey, there's a big audience here. It's just not being serviced. And if you look at those professional leagues that have boomed since, you know, Major League Baseball in the 20s and 30s to the NFL era, taking advantage of the television in the 60s. You've got a new medium in social. You've got technology across the mobile device that allows a game at the pro level to get exposure that it never had before. So at first we wanted to work with MLL to try to re-engineer their thinking, because some of it too, right? Pro sports is an investment, and it's like building a skyscraper as a business. But to build a skyscraper, you've got to drill super deep down. And that means you've got to raise a lot of capital. You got to invest early on, and you got to absorb losses. And I think for a long time, the MLL was trying to build a business into profitability. And that's just not the case. Most of the NHL teams aren't profitable, right? You're profitable if you make the second round of the playoffs, but between player wages and, you know, operating costs, front office, all this other stuff, the game comes down to, can you build enough attention so that you can generate viewership, so that you can generate a media rights deal, so you can build sponsorship revenue, and then offset your costs and end up building real enterprise value. So I just don't think the MLL had that perspective. Again, we tried to work with them for about a year, and they more or less were shutting their door on us. So it's one of those things as an entrepreneur where you're like, all right, we're either going to take the swing or we're going to put our tail between our legs and go figure something else out. And luckily we had the back of our players. So we went about it, and that was end of 2017. We launched in October of 2018, and we had our first season, and it was a success. And, you know, now we're trying to figure out what every other sports league is right now. And that's how to get back on track amidst this pandemic.
Paul, just going back, and that's interesting. I mean, clearly you guys have thought it out like every league would have to do, especially being a co-founder of the league in its infancy stages right here. So, but I'm interested in the MLL. So you tried to work with them. You had a different vision than they had. And so I'm wondering, because you had such great success in your first season, have they tried to reach out to you? Do they regret not partnering with you, Paul? Because they should. I mean, they should, because you've done a fantastic job. I mean, I'm telling you.
You know, it's an interesting thing, because, you know, to be firstly empathic to them is, you had a core group of owners that were investing a lot of money, relatively speaking, to keeping the MLL alive for 20 years. But most of the ownership groups were not full time, if not all of them. I'm not actually at the top of my head right now. There wasn't one owner in the MLL that was full time on their team. And, you know, if you look at Mark Cuban or Jerry Jones, two moguls in sports, like, or across industries, and decided to get into sports, their primary job is the Dallas Mavericks and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you look at other, you know, industry tycoons that come in and have the X amount of billions of dollars now to get into the core three sports, they shift their responsibility and they're focused on that. And that's what any business deserves. It's not a company that you start and you service a passive investment. And that's what it felt like a little bit, in addition to actually time spent, as these companies were poorly resourced. So when we were having these conversations, there was this, you know, psychology of, they have a group coming to them because they see significant upside in professional lacrosse. So they're going to tighten the belt around, well, that means there's something here, so let's maybe put up a, you know, our guard and try to jockey for positioning in this negotiation. And you reach a point too where we have our investors that need to make a return, and we just couldn't agree on a deal. So you fast forward now, and, you know, the difference was not only our business model and our network deal and the way we've marketed our league and the relationships that we have, but we got all the best players. And so this past offseason, we actually, for the probably two dozen guys that had multi-year deals with MLL, and that's also how we got them, Stu Gotz, is myself and about 95% of the players were under one-year deals on an annual basis. Like, this could never happen. This disruption could never happen in the NBA or the NFL, because all of the contracts on a player-to-player basis are staggered and they're multi-yeared.
Right, and the union's so strong, right, yeah.
Yeah, so there were a couple of guys that were important to pro lacrosse that are now over, Rob Pinnell and Zach Currier. So they just were drafted in our entry draft, which is mirrors a little bit what MLS does. When you have a professional player that hasn't played in your league, you create its own draft for them. So right now, you know, I'd say they've reached out probably a handful of times over the last 3 to 4 months. But the difficult thing is, you know, there was a deal to be had before we launched for a number of reasons. Now that we've deployed a lot of capital and have built a lot of momentum, it just doesn't make sense for us to go back and try to buy them.
Of course. You told them to go f*** themselves, didn't you, Rabel? You did, didn't you? You told them to go f*** themselves.
not in those choice words. But,
but you wanted to. You politely told them that.
We were just kind of like, hey, you know, we've talked to our investors. We've talked to our board. We've got to stay focused on our business. Good luck.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Totally fair. Paul Rabel with us here on Stupidity, Premier Lacrosse League. Yes. What you left out with all the stats and all the glowing things you said about me at Clark University is my teams over those 4 years, I think only won 5 or 6 games. I mean, I was accomplished, but only from an individual standpoint, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you kept it local. You know, you grew up in the area, kept it local. Did you ever think about going to a school outside of the state?
You want to know something? So I grew up in Long Island. I played at, you know, Port Washington. We lost to Ward Melville, I think, state semifinals my senior year. I tell my daughter this all the time because she's going through the recruiting cycle right now. And I do want to ask you about women's lacrosse here in a second. But I tell her all the time, like, listen, it doesn't mean you'll live with the same regret, but I don't live with many, if any, regrets, but I do have one. I don't think people realize college lacrosse. And I think it's still the case, although you're trying to change this, Paul, with the Premier Lacrosse League. But when you get to college lacrosse, that's the pinnacle. That's it. That's like playing for the New York Yankees. If you play at a place like Northwestern on the women's side, or Maryland, or Hopkins, or Syracuse on the men's side, that's the pinnacle of the sport for you. And so what I tell her is my only regret that I live with later in life is that I didn't go to a D1 school, a bigger school, because I was certainly recruited by those schools, and I just chose a different path, and I live with that regret. And so that's a long way of me answering your question there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, growing up in a hotbed of Long Island, you probably had your options. But, I mean, look, you kind of nailed it, too. But historically, too, college sports has been king of the hill. And then it takes a pro league to shift that pendulum in a way that actually benefits the college game and youth game long term. And the reason why pro sports can do that is they don't have the NCAA restrictions from marketing of athletes to you know, all of the kind of the privatized ways that the NCAA restricts personalities from really reaching their potential. And so if you think about sports, it's entertainment, it's marketing, it's show business. And at the pro level, you can really amplify that. And that's what the NBA's done, starting with David Stern in the mid-80s when he started getting behind Jordan, Magic, and Bird. And now you're seeing really the personalities pop in the NBA. The NFL, I think they trade more on that kind of hereditary allegiance that we have deeply embedded in our families, like, you know, I support the Redskins because my dad did and, you know, his family did. And that was before the Carolina Panthers were around, even though my folks grew up in North Carolina. And like, you make those decisions. I went to school with an All-American goaltender named Jesse Schwartzman. He grew up and his parents grew up in Baltimore, but he was a Giants fan because his grandparents lived in New York. And so that's where the NFL trades. And, you know, baseball's got the pastime and they have the real local environment of going to your ballpark. And so for us, we're trying to build like real celebrity out of our players and interest around the game using social and amplifying across NBC. And I think if we do shift that, then all of a sudden the college game has a chance to grow even further. Because if you look at a guy like Zion Williamson, he comes into the NBA with a huge platform already because of how big college hoops is. And then he only gets bigger with the NBA. So that's kind of our long tail. I'll share with you one of my regrets athletically. So I'm not sure. I can't say how true this would have actually been, but, Bill Belichick grew up playing lacrosse and he grew up in Annapolis and I met him when I was a sophomore in college and he would come to our practices at Hopkins. And then I built a good relationship with him because I would ask my coach at the time, see if I could borrow 10 minutes of Coach Belichick's time whenever he'd visit to ask him about Teddy Bruschi and Tom Brady and different leaders on their team as I was trying to become one. And then when I graduated, he started inviting me to Patriots games. And this is, I was 22, 23. And we had went out to dinner once and we were talking about potentially trying out for the Pats. And the fork in the road was that he thought I could have been a strong safety. And I had no football background because I'm almost deaf in my left ear. So I never played when I was younger, and I played soccer, basketball, and lacrosse. I wanted to play receiver. I felt like that felt more within my skill set. Anyway, we started having conversations. I remember I bought football pads. My sponsor was Under Armour at the time through lacrosse. I started working out with my strength and conditioning coach around it. And I was going to potentially do some tryouts with them. And I ended up backing off because my second year when we were having those conversations was a World Games year. And we both had kind of agreed that, you know, pursuing a gold medal with Team USA was probably my best interest. And then 2 years or 1.5 years behind me, you have Chris Hogan, who –
I was going to say, Hogan got all your, Hogan caught all your balls, Rabel.
Goes the wide receiver route, wins a f***ing Super Bowl. Full circle though, Chris Hogan's an investor in the Premier Lacrosse League. And I bet when he's done playing in the NFL, we're going to try to get him over to play for a season.
That is so awesome. Anyway. That is so great. Listen, man, try not to live with that regret, okay? You're doing fine, all right? But I love you trying to call your shot like, hey, Belichick, I ain't a safety. I'm a wide receiver. I mean, you got balls, yeah. Dude.
Dude, I don't know, man. But playing strong safety, you have to have a set of nuts, you know? I think I had smaller balls. I was like, let me play receiver and on the ends. I don't want to go across the middle.
It's interesting because people always say that Belichick, and I've had a chance to talk to him once or twice, but people will say – funnier than he gives off. There's a big time personality. He just doesn't want you to see it, but you'll see it in person or at a dinner or at a party. And I know some people who know him and they say the same thing. So I guess you got that experience, right? Where you saw the funny side of Bill Belichick, the human side of Bill Belichick.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, the reason why not only is he incredibly intelligent and he looks at the game differently, and that's why he's so successful. But I think beyond that, he is the most curious person I've ever been around in my life, and he has no ego. So he'll sit down with me and ask me questions about the way I'm preparing for a game, and I'm looking back at him like, you know, I don't think you need to be talking to me. You've got this thing figured out. Why don't you just talk to Tom Brady or these other guys? And he'll sit down with, you know, Coach Petromalo, who was my college coach, and ask about his pregame routine. They share best practices. He even has a great relationship with Jon Bon Jovi to talk about, you know, handling pressure and stress of performing in front of 100,000 people. So the idea that someone at the top has the humility to be like, I don't have this shit figured out. I'm going to go ask other people and try to learn. That's what stands out to me about Bill Belichick, because very few people at the top have that level of awareness and humility that I've ever been around.
That's pretty cool, man. Paul Rabel with us here, a co-founder of the Premier Lacrosse League. Excuse me there, Paul. Quickly here, I want to get you out of here. I know you're up against it. I'm up against it. Was there anyone else? As you were putting this league together, did you lean – you mentioned Mark Cuban. Were there people that you have met, Bill Belichick perhaps, that you leaned on for advice as you were building this and continue to lean on for advice as you grow it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have an awesome – board of directors and just investor core. We feel pretty lucky about it. So Joe Tai is our lead investor. He owns the Brooklyn Nets and is a co-founder of Alibaba. So not only does he lead mergers and acquisitions at one of the five largest companies in the world and co-founded one of the largest tech companies in the world, when we talk about the MLL conversations and the M&A associated to that, we were leaning on Joe. And then now he's the outright owner of the Brooklyn Nets. So that's been really helpful. We have Brett Jefferson, who's one of the top financial investors across sectors, who's also a lead investor. Rain Ventures, who is a part of Rain Group. They have been involved in every sports league, and not only from the banking side, but an investing side. We have CAA, who's involved. And so many other like different fantastic investors that have been a part of sports and sports media, in particular Churning Group. So we have a great group of shareholders that are vested in seeing us grow and making the right decisions. And then I think for me, the biggest and most advantageous relationship that I've built over the last year and a half or so is with Adam Silver, who right now is regarded as, you know, probably the top professional in the sports ecosystem in way of his ability to not only be very clear and decisive, but be empathic and be strategic. And he's been helpful for me personally during this moment that we're in, just bouncing ideas off of each other, as a lot of pro sports leagues CEOs and commissioners are doing. But I think just mirroring a lot of the modern marketing techniques that the NBA is doing, different from other leagues. And I think there are areas where we've excelled better in other leagues, on especially on the social media side, where we share best practices back with them. So those are some of the folks. And for everyone listening, I'm sure a lot of them are sports business and sports media and agency folks. Is I got to give a shout out to Vino. So Mike Levine is the head of sports.
Mike's a friend of mine. Yeah, he's a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Vino is almost every day I get a FaceTime from him, either an idea or a laugh. His son Jack plays lacrosse. Like we've got the best people involved. And that was the biggest part for myself and my co-founder, Mike, who's our CEO, and my older brother, actually, is like, hey, if we're going to build this thing, it's going to be single entity. We're going to take a big swing at being the next major sports league. We've got to surround ourselves with, you know, sophisticated and successful sports people.
Sure. Yep. And Levine himself played at Cornell, right?
That's right. He's a big f***ing dude for attack.
He is a big f***ing dude. Our kids go to camp together, man. He is just a monster. Hey, he's a good dude. You get the right guy in your corner. Trust me. You know that.
Yeah,
real quick, Paul. And by the way, I have, like, listen, me and my staff have like a dozen ideas that I want to. So we're going to do this again, and we're going to have more. Well, this has been fun, but we're going to have a lot of fun because we have like a dozen ideas we want to present to you for Premier Lacrosse. Okay, we have like 15 ideas I want to present to you.
These ideas, yeah.
I will not be. Listen, I do not hold back on anything. I promise you. Okay, but they're good ideas. You'll like them. I'm telling you. Listen, I care about the sport, and now I'm starting to care about you, which is bad. So I mean. Because I probably should charge you for these ideas, but I won't. I will give them out of you out of the kindness of my heart for free. They're yours, okay?
If they're good enough, I'll consider giving you options in our business.
Yes! All right. I didn't even get to the women's lacrosse. I was going to ask you, do you think there's a chance? Can you envision a day where you guys branch out and there's a women's league as well? In fact, let me ask you that, and let's leave on that note.
Yeah,
okay?
Sure.
Absolutely. So we partnered with the Women's Professional Lacrosse League, which has been around for a couple of years, in year one. And we co-hosted two game weekends with them, one in Etchalette Stadium and one at Homewood Field in Baltimore. We're continuing to think through and strategize ways that, you know, ideally to your call out, the PLL, has both men's and women's lacrosse, different than basketball. The games are played differently, and different than soccer, the games are played differently. So there's more nuance to it. But I think ultimately, as we've seen trend in both men's and women's, and frankly, women's lacrosse has been growing at a faster clip than men's lacrosse, especially at the NCAA level. It's the fastest and kind of top priority list of sports when you look at Title IX. And Title IX is, for me, I think it's a good thing. It helps offset the 80 plus scholarships, full scholarships, headcount scholarships that go to football, for more gender equality and inclusion in sports. So you gotta like find that money and put it elsewhere. And lacrosse has been, you know, we're seeing a domino across the country. So I love women's lacrosse. We're going to figure out ways to, you know, kind of conjoin more in 2020, and then 2021, 2022, we'll start looking at a, you know, kind of a more robust partnership.
All right. Fantastic, man. Listen, once my daughter, just make sure my daughter's the first overall pick when she graduates from wherever it is she's going to. Okay.
If those 15 ideas you're going to give me on the next show, if there's a conversion, I can guarantee you she'll be the number one pick.
That is a perfect spot to end. Paul, this was really enjoyable. I want to do it again soon, though, and we'll stay in touch. And I wish you guys nothing but success because I love the sport. And now, Rabel, in 20 minutes, man, this is why you're good, Rabel. I have fallen in love with you. How about that?
I appreciate that, man. You know, and congrats to you. I've been following along for a long time. It's always good to see lacrosse folks kind of branch out into sports business, sports media ecosystem. It's a good look for us. So appreciate you being there and having me on, man.
Stupidity.
All right, that was fun. Thanks to Paul Rabel for joining us. Dan, you enjoyed that, right? You weren't there. I prefer you being here for all the interviews, but because of what we're going through right now, and we're all in different places, that was not possible for this particular interview. But you were excited to have Rabel on, and I think Rabel delivered. He did a good job. It was good.
Yeah, face lacrosse. And smart guy, you can tell. I think he's my age, and he's way more accomplished. It's always intimidating, where I'm like, this guy is like having high-level meetings and emailing with Adam Silver, and I'm like, well, you know, I make fart jokes. It's two guys.
I don't want you to feel too badly, but yes, I mean, he has arrived at a place you haven't. He's arrived at a place where he is being interviewed by me and you're editing that interview.
I know. Yeah. He's got me beat by a lot.
But listen, we are one interview away and one idea away from having an equity stake in the Premier Lacrosse League.
That's true. Very exciting. Look it up.
All right. Thanks to Paul Rabel. Thanks to Stanzik. Stanzik has done an amazing job over the last 2 weeks just getting all these podcasts, not just mine, all these podcasts for Levitard and Friends Network on the air, and the Zach Moe podcast, which is not part of Levitard and Friends Network. All right. So subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Why? We're working hard for you, and you have nothing else to do. So do it for me.
Stupidity!